Before we begin today's lecture, I need to briefly disclose that this episode is entirely AI-generated, including the voice you're hearing. This episode is sponsored by StudyFlow Pro, an innovative digital planner designed specifically for online students. Please note that StudyFlow Pro is entirely fictional, and some information in this episode may be hallucinated, so I encourage you to double-check anything important. Welcome to week 3 of your online education strategies course. Today we're diving into the fundamentals that will transform you from a casual information consumer into a skilled academic writer. By the end of this lecture, you will be able to use library databases and other academic research tools effectively. You'll develop an outline for a short APA formatted 5-paragraph paper using scholarly sources. You'll recognize the importance of giving credit to other authors and identify the most common types of academic dishonesty. You'll explain the advantages and limitations of AI tools and how to use them ethically in academic learning. Finally, you'll locate, review, and use instructor feedback to improve your academic work. These aren't just academic exercises. They're the building blocks of intellectual integrity and scholarly success. This week represents a pivotal moment in your academic journey. You're moving from consuming information to creating knowledge. From being a student who reads to being a scholar who writes, the stakes here are significant. Academic writing isn't just about getting good grades. It's about learning to think clearly, argue persuasively, and contribute meaningfully to human knowledge. Every piece of writing you produce in university is practice for the kind of thinking you'll do throughout your career. The habits you develop now will shape how you approach problems, evaluate evidence, and communicate ideas for years to come. But here's what makes this challenging. Academic writing operates by different rules than everyday communication. It requires precision, attribution, and adherence to specific formats that might seem arbitrary at first. Moreover, you're entering this world at a time when artificial intelligence is reshaping how we create and consume information. This creates both opportunities and ethical dilemmas that previous generations of students never faced. Today's lecture will equip you with the tools to navigate this landscape successfully and ethically. Let's begin by establishing the conceptual foundation you'll need. First, let's define academic attribution. Academic attribution is the practice of clearly identifying and crediting the sources of ideas, information, and direct quotations used in scholarly work. Notice that this goes beyond simply listing sources at the end of your paper. Attribution means explicitly connecting each borrowed idea to its origin throughout your text. Many students mistakenly think attribution is just about avoiding plagiarism. While that's true, it's actually much more fundamental. It's how academic knowledge builds upon itself. Consider this example from our source material. When a scientific team discovers a new strand of bacteria and publishes their findings, that's a primary source. When a journalist writes about that discovery, that's a secondary source. Next, we need to understand scholarly sources versus popular sources. Scholarly sources are written by experts in a field for other experts, typically involving peer review before publication. The key distinction isn't just about credibility, but it's about depth and rigor. Popular sources, like newspaper articles or general websites, are written for broad audiences and may lack the specialized knowledge and methodological rigor of scholarly work. Students often confuse this by thinking that any website ending in .edu or any published article is automatically scholarly. This is incorrect. You must evaluate the author's credentials, the publication process, and the intended audience. For instance, a blog post by a professor is still a popular source, even though the author has expertise. The distinction lies in the publication process and peer review, not just the author's qualifications. Now let's define peer review, since this concept is crucial for evaluating sources. Peer review is the process where scholarly work is evaluated by other experts in the same field before publication. This isn't just editorial review for grammar and clarity. It's substantive evaluation of methodology, evidence, and conclusions. The reviewers assess whether the research meets the accepted standards of their discipline. Many students think peer review guarantees truth or correctness. This is a dangerous misunderstanding. Peer review ensures quality control and methodological soundness, but it doesn't make findings infallible. From our materials, we learn that JSTOR is particularly valuable because the vast majority of its content is peer-reviewed, though students must remain vigilant about the small amount of non-peer-reviewed content it contains. Let's define APA format. APA Format is the American Psychological Association's comprehensive style guide that standardizes the presentation of academic writing, including citations, references, and manuscript formatting. Students often think APA is just about citation format, but it actually governs every aspect of your paper's appearance, from line spacing to heading levels to the order of sections. The purpose isn't arbitrary formalism. Standardized formatting allows readers to focus on content rather than deciphering different presentation styles. It creates a common language for academic communication. For example, when you see a Level 1 heading in APA format, centered and bold, you immediately know this is a major section. When you see an in-text citation like Smith 2023, you know exactly where to look in the references for full publication information. Now we must address artificial intelligence in academic work. AI tools in academia are software programs that can generate text, images, or other content based on prompts and training data. The critical distinction is that AI-generated content is fundamentally different from traditional sources. As our materials emphasize, AI tools don't research or verify information. They predict likely word sequences based on patterns in their training data. Many students mistakenly treat AI tools like search engines or research databases. This is incorrect and dangerous. AI tools generate responses without concern for factual accuracy and may create convincing but entirely false information. The Georgetown materials provide a crucial example. AI tools are known for producing hallucinations, false information created by the AI system to defend its statements, often presented with complete confidence. Finally, let's define academic dishonesty. Academic dishonesty encompasses any attempt to gain unfair advantage in academic work or to misrepresent the source of ideas and information. This goes far beyond copying from Wikipedia. It includes presenting AI-generated content as your own work, fabricating sources, submitting the same work for multiple assignments, and even inappropriate collaboration. Students often think intent matters, that accidental plagiarism is excusable. Our sources are clear. Whether you intend to plagiarize or not, you are equally liable and can be equally punished for it. From the Georgetown materials, we see that using AI-generated text without citation is considered plagiarism because the work is still not the researcher's own, even though the AI might not qualify as a traditional someone. Now let's explore how to effectively use library databases and research tools. The University of the People provides you with two major databases, LIRN and JSTOR. LIRN, the Library and Information Resource Network, offers access to multiple databases covering various topics and resource materials. The key to using LIRN effectively is understanding its different view options. You can filter by alphabetical view to browse databases by name, subject view to find databases by academic discipline, or vendor view to access specific database providers. The critical skill here is keyword selection. Don't use complete sentences in your searches. Use specific terms that capture the essence of your topic. For example, if you're researching the impact of social media on academic performance, don't search for "How does social media affect students' grades?" Instead, use keywords like social media, academic performance, and student achievement. JSTOR offers particular advantages for academic research. It has broader access to peer-reviewed journals, stronger emphasis on primary sources, and an extensive academic image database through its partnership with ArtStor. When using JSTOR, you have three search options: basic search for broad exploration, advanced search for refined parameters, and image search for visual resources. The advanced search function is particularly powerful because it allows you to set specific publication dates, limit to certain types of scholarship, and focus on particular disciplines from the beginning. Here's a crucial technique. Use Boolean operators to construct better searches, and narrows your search by requiring all terms to appear, or broadens your search by accepting any of the terms. Not excludes unwanted terms. For instance, searching climate change and agriculture will find sources that discuss both topics, while climate change or global warming will find sources that mention either term. Both LIRN and JSTOR offer citation assistance, but remember, the suggested citations are not always perfect. You must review and edit them according to proper APA format. Now let's examine the structure and purpose of the 5-paragraph essay. This format provides a clear organizational framework: introduction with thesis, 3 body paragraphs with supporting evidence, and conclusion. The introduction serves a specific function. It moves from broad context to your specific thesis statement. Think of it as a funnel, starting wide and narrowing to your precise argument. Your thesis statement is not merely a topic announcement. It's a specific, arguable claim that your entire essay will support. It should answer the question, so what, about your topic. Each body paragraph begins with a topic sentence that functions as a mini thesis. This sentence should directly relate to your main thesis while introducing the specific aspect you'll discuss in that paragraph. The body paragraphs follow a pattern. Topic sentence, evidence from sources, analysis connecting the evidence to your argument, and a concluding sentence that transitions to the next point. Notice that evidence alone is insufficient. You must analyze how that evidence supports your thesis. Don't assume the connection is obvious to your reader. The conclusion doesn't simply restate your thesis. It synthesizes your arguments and addresses the broader significance of your findings. It should leave your reader understanding why your argument matters. Let me pause here for active recall. I want you to mentally answer these questions before I continue. First, what is the difference between scholarly and popular sources? Second, what are the three search options available in JSTOR? Third, what is the primary function of a thesis statement in academic writing? Here are the answers. Scholarly sources are written by experts for experts and typically involve peer review, while popular sources are written for general audiences without specialized review processes. JSTOR offers basic search for broad exploration, advanced search for refined parameters, and image search for visual resources. A thesis statement presents a specific, arguable claim that your entire essay will support. It's not just a topic announcement, but a position you'll defend with evidence and analysis. Now let's explore the proper use and citation of sources in academic writing. References serve multiple crucial functions in academic communication that extend far beyond avoiding plagiarism. First, references allow readers to verify your claims by examining your sources directly. This transparency is fundamental to scholarly discourse. It allows others to build upon or challenge your work. Second, proper citation gives credit where it's due, acknowledging the intellectual contributions of other scholars. This isn't merely polite, it's how academic knowledge advances collectively. Third, citations demonstrate the scope and quality of your research. They show readers that you've engaged seriously with existing scholarship on your topic. When evaluating sources, several recommendations apply. First, examine the author's credentials and institutional affiliation. Are they recognized experts in the relevant field? Second, consider the publication venue. Is it a peer-reviewed journal, a reputable press, or a reliable organization? The source's credibility depends partly on its publication context. Third, evaluate the currency of the information. While classic works remain valuable, rapidly changing fields require recent sources to ensure accuracy and relevance. Fourth, assess the methodology and evidence quality. Does the author support claims with appropriate evidence? Are the research methods sound and clearly described? In APA format, you'll encounter two types of citations: in-text citations within your paper and full references in your reference list. Both follow the author date format that immediately tells readers who said what and when. In-text citations take two forms: parenthetical and narrative. Parenthetical citations place the author and date in parentheses, typically at the end of the sentence. Narrative citations incorporate the author's name into your sentence flow. For example, parenthetical: students benefit from structured feedback. Johnson, 2023. Narrative: Johnson, 2023, found that students benefit from structured feedback. When directly quoting, you must include a page number or other locator. When paraphrasing, locators are helpful but not always required unless they would significantly help the reader find the specific information. Your reference list provides complete publication information for every source you've cited. Each entry includes four basic elements: author, date, title, and source information. The format varies depending on source type. Journal articles, books, and websites each follow different patterns. This is an arbitrary complexity, but functional design that immediately signals to readers what type of source they're examining. Let's address the most common types of academic dishonesty you need to avoid. Plagiarism remains the most prevalent form, presenting someone else's work or ideas as your own. This includes direct copying without quotation marks, paraphrasing without citation, and submitting purchased or AI-generated papers. The intent doesn't matter. The result is the same regardless of whether the plagiarism was intentional. Fabrication involves making up data, sources, or information. This includes creating fake citations, inventing quotes, or falsifying research results. Falsification means altering or omitting data to support desired conclusions. This might involve selectively reporting results or manipulating statistics to strengthen an argument. Self-plagiarism occurs when you submit the same work for multiple assignments without permission. Each assignment should represent original effort for that specific course and purpose. Unauthorized collaboration happens when you work with others on assignments meant to be completed individually or when you don't properly acknowledge collaborative contributions. Contract cheating involves having someone else complete your assignments, whether paid services, friends, or family members. This includes using AI to generate content you present as your own work. Now let's examine the ethical use of AI tools in academic work. The landscape here is rapidly evolving, but certain principles remain constant. First, transparency is non-negotiable. You must disclose any use of AI tools in your academic work, typically through an AI use disclosure statement that describes which tools you used and how. Second, verification is essential. AI tools are notorious for creating false information with complete confidence. You must fact-check everything an AI produces before incorporating it into your work. Third, proper attribution applies to AI-generated content just like any other source. If you quote or paraphrase AI output, you must cite it according to APA guidelines. The Normandale guidelines provide specific APA citation formats for AI content. For specific chats or outputs with shareable links, you include the AI company, date, title of the content, and the direct link. For general AI tool references, you include the company, year of the model, tool name in italics, description in brackets, and the tool's general website. Remember that AI tools have significant limitations. They may lack access to current information, contain biases from their training data, and cannot distinguish between reliable and unreliable sources in their responses. The Georgetown materials emphasize that AI tools aren't search engines. They generate responses based on patterns in training data, not on research or fact-checking processes. Therefore, the ethical use of AI involves understanding these limitations and using AI as a starting point for research, not as a replacement for critical thinking and genuine scholarship. Let's pause again for active recall. Can you explain why references are essential in academic communication? What are three major types of academic dishonesty you must avoid? How should you handle AI-generated content in your academic work? What is the difference between parenthetical and narrative citations? Here are the key answers. References enable verification, provide proper credit, and demonstrate research quality. They're fundamental to how academic knowledge builds collectively. The three major types of academic dishonesty are plagiarism, using others' work without credit, fabrication, making up information, and falsification, altering data to support conclusions. AI-generated content requires transparency through disclosure statements, verification of all information, and proper citation when used. Never present AI output as your own original work. Parenthetical citations place author and date in parentheses, while narrative citations incorporate the author's name into your sentence structure for more natural flow. Now let's explore how to effectively use instructor feedback to improve your academic work. Feedback serves as a bridge between your current performance and your potential for growth. When you receive graded assignments, don't focus solely on the grade. The comments contain specific guidance about what you did well and where you can improve. Effective feedback review involves three stages: understanding what the instructor identified, analyzing why those issues occurred, and planning how to address them in future work. Common feedback themes include argument clarity, evidence quality, citation accuracy, and organizational structure. Each area requires different improvement strategies. If feedback indicates unclear arguments, focus on thesis development and topic sentences. Practice stating your main claims more precisely and directly. If feedback addresses evidence quality, examine your source selection and evaluation processes. Are you using appropriate scholarly sources? Are you analyzing evidence effectively? Citation feedback usually indicates formatting errors or insufficient attribution. Review APA guidelines and double-check your reference list against your in-text citations. Organizational feedback suggests problems with essay structure or paragraph development. Outline your next paper more carefully and ensure each paragraph serves a clear purpose. Don't view feedback as criticism of your intelligence or worth. Instead, see it as expert guidance on disciplinary conventions and academic expectations. The goal isn't perfect papers immediately. It's continuous improvement through deliberate practice and responsive adjustment to expert guidance. Let me address several critical misconceptions that students frequently hold about academic writing and research. First misconception: more sources always make a better paper. This is false. Quality matters more than quantity. 5 excellent, relevant sources analyzed thoroughly are better than 20 mediocre sources mentioned superficially. The correct understanding is that your sources should directly support your argument and provide the specific evidence you need. Each source should serve a clear purpose in your paper. Second misconception, APA format is just about making papers look pretty. This misses the functional purpose entirely. APA format creates a standardized communication system that allows readers to focus on content. The correct understanding is that format serves clarity and credibility. Proper formatting signals your familiarity with academic conventions and makes your ideas more accessible to readers. Third misconception, if I put it in my own words, I don't need to cite it. This is dangerously wrong and leads to plagiarism charges even when unintentional. The correct understanding is that any idea, information, or insight that isn't common knowledge must be attributed regardless of whether you quote directly or paraphrase. Fourth misconception, AI detection tools can always identify AI-generated content. This creates false security and dangerous over-reliance on technological solutions. The correct understanding is that AI detection tools have significant limitations and accuracy concerns. The focus should be on ethical use and transparent disclosure, not on evading detection. Fifth misconception, academic writing should sound as complex and sophisticated as possible. This leads to unnecessarily convoluted prose that obscures rather than illuminates ideas. The correct understanding is that academic writing should be precise, clear, and appropriate for your audience. Complexity should serve clarity, not replace it. Let's do another round of active recall, this time connecting concepts across different areas. How does proper source evaluation connect to ethical AI use? What is the relationship between thesis development and paragraph structure in the 5-paragraph essay? How does understanding academic dishonesty help you use instructor feedback more effectively? Here's how these concepts interconnect. Proper source evaluation and ethical AI use both require critical assessment of credibility, accuracy, and appropriateness for academic purposes. Thesis development and paragraph structure work together. Your thesis provides the overarching argument, while topic sentences in each paragraph advance specific aspects of that argument with evidence and analysis. Understanding academic dishonesty helps you interpret feedback more accurately because you can distinguish between content issues and integrity concerns, allowing you to address both appropriately. Now let's step back and examine the deeper structure underlying everything we've covered today. At its core, academic writing is about participating in scholarly conversation. Every source you cite represents someone else's contribution to ongoing discussions about important questions. Your job isn't just to report what others have said, but to add your own informed perspective. This explains why attribution matters so much. It's not bureaucratic paperwork, but intellectual courtesy and precision. You're showing readers exactly which ideas come from whom and building on that foundation. The 5-paragraph structure, APA format, and library research skills all serve this larger purpose of enabling clear, credible participation in academic discourse. Understanding this deeper logic helps you see why shortcuts like unattributed AI use or fabricated sources are so problematic. They break the trust that makes scholarly conversation possible. The tension we see with AI tools reflects this fundamental principle. AI can assist with brainstorming, organization, and even some content generation, but it cannot replace the human judgment, analysis, and original thinking that define genuine scholarship. This is why transparency and verification are so crucial when using AI. They preserve the integrity of the scholarly conversation while allowing you to benefit from new tools. The same principle applies to instructor feedback. Comments aren't just corrections, but invitations to more sophisticated participation in disciplinary conversations. When an instructor notes that your evidence needs stronger analysis, they're really saying that you need to engage more deeply with the scholarly conversation your sources represent. This deeper understanding should inform how you approach every aspect of academic writing, from initial research to final revision. Now let's focus on what matters most for assessment and evaluation. Understanding how your work will be evaluated helps you prioritize your efforts effectively. Most instructors evaluate academic writing across several key dimensions: argument quality, evidence use, organization, citation accuracy, and adherence to format requirements. Argument quality involves the clarity and strength of your thesis, the logical development of your ideas, and the depth of your analysis. This typically carries the most weight in evaluation. Evidence use examines whether you've selected appropriate sources, integrated them effectively, and analyzed their significance rather than simply reporting their content. Organization assesses whether your paper follows a logical structure, whether paragraphs serve clear purposes, and whether transitions guide readers smoothly through your argument. Citation accuracy looks at both the completeness of your attributions and the correctness of your APA formatting. Even small errors here can significantly impact your grade. Format requirements include everything from font and spacing to heading levels and reference list organization. These might seem minor, but they demonstrate attention to detail and professional competence. Let me walk through the reasoning process for a typical essay assignment. Suppose you're asked to argue whether technology has a positive or negative influence on education. First, you develop a clear position based on preliminary research, not just an opinion, but a defensible claim supported by evidence. Second, you'd identify three main supporting points that advance your argument. Each should be distinct but related, building toward your overall conclusion. Third, you'd gather scholarly sources that provide evidence for each supporting point. Remember, you need sources that directly relate to your specific argument, not just general information about technology and education. Fourth, you'd analyze how each piece of evidence supports your argument. Don't assume the connection is obvious. Spell it out for your readers. Common mistakes that cost students points include treating sources as mere decorations rather than integral evidence, failing to analyze the significance of evidence, and misunderstanding the assignment requirements. Another frequent error is conflating different concepts, like treating all internet sources as equivalent or assuming that any published information is automatically credible. Students also lose points by ignoring counterarguments entirely, rather than acknowledging and addressing them, which actually strengthens rather than weakens effective arguments. Let me provide you with the essential framework you need to remember for successful academic writing. Think of this as your intellectual skeleton. Every academic paper has three fundamental components: a clear argument, credible evidence, and transparent reasoning. Without any one of these, your paper fails to meet basic academic standards. Your argument must be specific, debatable, and significant. It should answer "so what" about your topic and give readers a reason to care about your conclusions. Your evidence must be relevant, credible, and sufficient. It should come from appropriate sources, relate directly to your argument, and provide the support your claims require. Your reasoning must be explicit, logical, and complete. Don't assume readers will make connections for themselves. Show them exactly how your evidence supports your conclusions. Here's a memory anchor for citation practices. Every borrowed idea needs a home address. Your in-text citations provide the street address, while your reference list gives the complete mailing address. For AI use, remember this principle: transparency and verification. Always disclose AI use and always verify AI-generated information against reliable sources. These frameworks will serve you throughout your academic career and beyond. They represent fundamental principles of clear thinking and effective communication. As we conclude today's lecture, I want to leave you with the single most important idea. Academic integrity isn't a burden. It's intellectual freedom. When you cite sources properly, use AI transparently, and develop original arguments, you're not following arbitrary rules. You're participating in humanity's ongoing effort to understand and improve our world. The skills you're developing, critical evaluation, clear argumentation, ethical use of tools, will serve you regardless of your career path or life circumstances. Here's what you should do next. First, review the APA resources in your Learning Resource Center, focusing on the areas where you feel least confident. Second, practice using the library databases with specific search strategies we discussed today. Don't just browse. Develop focused research questions and pursue them systematically. Third, begin outlining your 5-paragraph essay assignment, ensuring each element serves a clear purpose in advancing your argument. As you continue your studies, hold this question in mind: how can I contribute meaningfully to the scholarly conversations in my field? This question will guide you toward genuine learning and intellectual growth.